Fresh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston, and now it moves on to the president's desk.
On this vote, the yeas are 216. The nays are 213. The resolution is adopted.
The House, just after midnight, approving a bill to cancel $9 billion in funding that Congress had already approved for foreign aid and public broadcasting. President Trump saying he wants Attorney General Pam Bondi to unseal grand jury documents related to Jeffrey Epstein in an attempt to quell cries from the MAGA base surrounding information about the convicted sex offender. President Trump diagnosed with chronic venous insufficiency, a common diagnosis for older people. However, says Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt, there's nothing more serious.
There was no evidence of deep vein thrombosis or arterial disease.
The Late Show with Stephen Colbert extending in May. It'll be ending. Colbert has been strongly critical of President's administration, but CBS says it's purely financial. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. In 2009, Joaquin Phoenix acted really strange on an episode of The Late Show with David Letterman. The Gladiator actor appeared on the same stage in the same theater on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert on Tuesday and discussed his Letterman appearance, saying he deeply regretted it. During his previous Late Show appearance, Phoenix says he was parodying a character he was playing in a film that was about to be released at the time called I'm Still Here, a mockumentary about Phoenix leaving acting to become a hip-hop artist. Phoenix wore a dark suit and sunglasses and said little. He told Colbert he was hoping Dave would lacerate him after informing the Late Show staff that was how he was going to appear for the interview. In hindsight, it was a disaster. The Oscar-winning Phoenix called the interview and the entire experience a disaster and uncomfortable. I remember that night, and he's putting it mildly. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Pack is back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, the Packers are arriving for the start of training camp beginning next Wednesday. Rookies and the quarterbacks reporting today for physicals and meetings. Yesterday, Jordan Love was in Milwaukee for his youth football camp with 600 kids participating, including more girls this year, catching passes from number 10.
I can't believe that I got to have a catch from him.
Come out here, have some fun with them, teach them some skills, and just have a day where they can be around, you know, NFL player, ask me questions, and hopefully have an impact on their life is awesome.
Jordan Love's Hands of Love Foundation with programs to find life less stressful and more fun for children.
I mean, there's so many different layers of mental health and just creating awareness for that. But I think having kids come out here and just be around other kids their age and interact with those kids, you know, make friendships. And I think those are the things that are going to carry them on and into the future and hopefully have a positive impact on their mental health.
Baseball, the Brewers opening a 6-game road trip tonight in L.A. against the Dodgers with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I imagine we'll talk about Superman. It's the same thing I said about F1. It's a great video. The music is great. The action's great. The CGI is great. I don't feel like they had to really develop the characters. It was fine.
I thought they did a really good job of showing Superman's, you know, humility.
I agree with you there. One of my positives, it wasn't 2 hours and 40 minutes like every other blockbuster movie this summer, but lots to like there.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Will you accept the challenge to go plastic-free for the rest of the month? It's more important than ever, and we have ideas. I'm Lisa Hale.
I'm Terry Barr. Recycling rules and the cheat sheets you need to make a difference. The next new Wisco Weekend, Saturday morning at 8, Sunday at 11.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. If you happen to have the day off, you picked a good one. Plenty of sunshine today, nice and comfortable, highs in the mid-70s. For tonight, showers and thunderstorms possible later after midnight, lows in the lower 60s. Scattered showers and storms on Saturday, highs in the upper 70s. Current temperature is 54.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at mda75.org.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I review the record on the conspiracy theories in Pizzagate from QAnon and MAGA and reveal Donald Trump's deep hypocrisy in this moment about pedophile Jeffrey Epstein. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Well, it looks like we might have to duck and dive a few showers for the Farm Bay Boogie Tractor Parade tomorrow morning. How you doing, everybody? It's a Friday. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. Glad to welcome you to it here on the Midwest Farm Report. Today looks like a beautiful day to enjoy any of our county fair activities or get some of those outdoor chores done. Not so much humidity. Still should have a sunny Friday. Daytime highs today right around 76 with winds generally calm. Maybe a little bit of a breeze out of the east, about 5 miles an hour. Then tonight, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, probably around 3 a.m. into Saturday morning. Otherwise, 66 are expected overnight low tonight. Then, like I said, we'll have to work around the showers for the Farm Bay Boogie Tractor Parade. I'm still inviting all you tractor drivers to join me. We are going to begin our parade about 11 a.m. tomorrow morning in the back parking lot of the Alliant Energy Center grounds here in Madison in conjunction with the Dane County Fair. There could be showers, maybe even a thunderstorm that rumbled through on Saturday. Otherwise, it's going to be a partly sunny sky, and 83 are expected high for the temp. For Saturday night, another chance of showers or thunderstorms, probably before 10 p.m. Overnight lows Saturday down to 63. Then Sunday, 20% chance of showers probably in the afternoon. Daytime highs on Sunday around 77. We'll get a better fix on how much rain's coming from those potential storms and when they'll arrive. Talk with Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, in about 15 minutes. As we kick off the show this morning, we want to focus in on another big event that's coming up in the early portion of August. Wisconsin Farm Technology Days is considered the state's largest outdoor agriculture event. And this year, it's got all kinds of stories to share. Clinton Farms in Bear Creek, Wisconsin, I'd say about 40 minutes south and east of Green Bay, will be hosting the big show. And this is not new for the Clinton family. In fact, this is the third time that this farm has hosted Wisconsin Farm Technology Days. Now, it wasn't always Wisconsin Farm Technology Days. It has changed its name a couple times along the way. But Jim Clinton says he can still remember the first time that the family gathered together to welcome literally thousands of people to their farm, showing off technology. They'll do the same in 2025.
The show actually, I think, started in 1954 as a plowing contest, and then the 25th anniversary, Waupaca County wanted to host it, and they had different farms put in for it, and they selected our farm because of our roads and everything else. And my mom and dad, they were excited about it, and I was on the farm. I was 22 years old at that time, and but we had 120,000 people, we figured that, because there was a lot more farms back then. And we had about 2 inches of rain the first night of the show, and we were pulling cars in and out. And that's one thing I really remember about that show. But they were very excited about it, and they were happy when me and my wife Sue took it over. And in 2003, we wanted to have it again, and they were right behind us. You know, they were in the show just like we were. And but anyhow, for coming the third time now around, we wanted to do it the 75th, which would have been 2028, but they approached us. They had no farm, and they wanted to get on a farm again. So it was up to my kids if they wanted to do it, and they were more than happy to do it, so I backed them too. So
you mentioned about the crowd size being different that first time around. Tell me about the farm itself. What did it look like when it hosted the first time?
Well, we had a stall barn back then, and we had 100 cows, and we had silos, and all the demonstrations were like filling the silos and that. And in 1998, we built a flat barn parlor. We built our first freestall barn. And then we were milking 200 cows in 1998. But then in 03, we were still in the flat barn parlor, and we were milking probably about 250 to 300 cows. And then But everything's changed, the machinery, the technology, all that stuff. It's changed so much over the years. And try to stay with the with the stuff, you know, that goes on. Yeah. But and then 2018 we built our major expansion we did, and then we were milking 500 cows, but now we bumped up to, I think, we're milking 850 now.
Sure,
so
sure.
We haven't bought a animal on the farm bought since 1998.
Really?
So everything was raised in kind here.
Wow. Now, what about crop acres? You grow the herd, usually you grow the crop acres.
Yes, we probably in 1978, I think we were farming like 400 acres, and then we in 2003 we were probably around 2,000 acres, and now with the land being, everybody wants more and more land, but we're probably about 2,400 right now we are.
You know, and I was thinking about what used to grow here versus what grows here. I mean, there was a time when some of your acres, if I recall, were dedicated to sauerkraut production.
Yes, we had, for 36 years, we grew sauerkraut cabbage, and we had our own harvesters and planters, and we started that in 1976, I believe.
Yeah.
And then it just got to be so much afterwards that we kind of phased out of it. But, yeah, we... At one time, we had 400 and some acres of cabbage in 1 year, you know, but normally we grew about 250 acres of cabbage, which goes to the sauerkraut, which is little town of Bear Creek, has the world's largest sauerkraut factory.
Yes. Now, did you, when I talk about diversity, that's just one that pops to mind from growing up around here. What else does the rotation look like, Jim? I mean, like I said, when you're feeding cows, you like to change things up once in a while.
Yeah, we have... corn, we got majority of acres of corn, and then alfalfa, we got 700 acres of alfalfa, and then we got winter wheat in this year. We normally plant soybeans, but we didn't plant any soybeans this year, because we got to dedicate more acres to the cows now, because we're getting an increase in cows. But yeah, a cabbage was a great rotating crop. I mean, it was a good, what do you want to say,
money maker
for us. So it was a diversified crop, and now we always raise all of our steers, and that we finished them out years ago, but now I've been selling them as feeders. So that's I guess our rotation, kind of that's what we are right now.
Now, we mentioned that next generation has already engaged your son and daughter. What do they have in mind as far as the message they want people to take from the show, or maybe something that they're already planning for the future?
Well, I guess that's something maybe you have to ask them, but we always are excited to show the latest technology that we have on the farm and how well we take care of our animals, and I think every farmer is the same. They want to show how they take care of all the animals in their farm, and we're excited to show our facilities to the public.
Again, like we said, Jim and Sue are part of the generational story here at Clinton Farms. Got to ask you about the neighborhood now, though, Jim. When you were 22 years old and kind of getting excited about this, we said over 100,000 people that attended. Tell me a little bit about how the neighborhood looks today, some of the changes that you've witnessed living here on the farm.
Well, in 1978, there was a farm. Every house out here, there was a farm. And now there's very few barns left anymore. And but the neighbor, we have a very nice neighborhood here, and our people are supportive of our show. And they, I mean, every farm back then was 80 acres or 120 acres, and that's why we had so many people in 1978, you know. Now we hope to get 40,000 people to this show, you know.
Right. Are people, are you seeing some of the same faces that you've seen for the past number of years still stepping up to help at the show?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of the people are retired now. And, of course, they don't want to work, you know, the full day, you know, which is fine. They can, but, yeah, I think she's having a okay time getting volunteers, but hopefully by the time the show gets here, we'll... a lot of more people will step up.
Right. Now, we always emphasize the education side of things. Tell me a little bit about some of the educational items about the farm that you hope people slow down and take in. You walk past it every day. You see it every day. Some of the folks like me that are in agriculture, but for those folks that are coming from someplace like New London that may not know about agriculture, what do you hope that they slow down and pay attention to?
Well, you know, the cows or calves or whatever we have, they have to eat. And the way we feed them or whatever, and we try to keep them dry and clean as much as we can. And how well the animals are taken care of, you know, and that people, the public, actually can see, you know, and how we feed them, you know, if there's TMR mixers now or whatever we feed, and how the cows are milked, and, you know, they'll our new facility, our rotary have, and so they can see what it made me remember what it used to be a lot of years ago, because Pointer, everybody was grew up on a farm at one time. So I'm sure it's a lot different than years ago.
Jim Clinton, one of the family members welcoming you to Clinton Farms in Bear Creek for Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, August 5th, 6th, and 7th. They're still getting ready to release all the show demonstrations that will be happening across the farm. And again, as Jim points out, keep in mind the dairy technology that they're using in their brand new robotic dairy milking center. That's all coming up August 5th through the 7th. If you want to find out more or get involved, go to wifarmtechdays.org. wifarmtechdays.org. We'll plan to see you there. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to WISS.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The Wisconsin Elections Commission issued a highly critical report of the City of Madison's former clerk after investigating how 193 mail-in ballots were left uncounted after the 2024 general election. The clerk was suspended by the city, then subsequently resigned. November 12th, a staff member alerted City Clerk Mary Beth Witzel Bell that a sealed ballot courier bag had been found, but Witzel Bell allegedly gave the staff no instructions to open or otherwise investigate, did not alert state or county officials, and went on vacation the next day. Just before Thanksgiving, unaware that an unopened bag had been found, an elections inspector reported a discrepancy in wards 56 and 65. December 2nd, inspectors found another unopened courier bag containing 125 uncounted ballots. The 400-page report found several leadership and procedural failures. It concluded, quote, rather than acknowledge these significant errors, the city clerk and her staff either ignored the issue or willfully refused to inform the necessary parties and seek assistance. These actions resulted in nearly 200 lawful voters' votes going uncounted, an unconscionable result, unquote. The report orders the City of Madison to complete several procedural reforms before the next statewide election in February 2026. We've linked to the full report at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt Nair on Air.
Jay Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, day number 3 of our road trip in northern Wisconsin. We're broadcasting live from the lot in Hayward. We're going to be joined by Mark Lundeen from WBZH in Hayward.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
Livestock auction last night. How'd it go, Stu?
Market livestock auction went very well. Prices were, you know, they held on throughout for the members and exhibitors. They had a really great night.
Excellent. Good. I hope we have some of the same momentum tonight. The Dane County Youth Livestock Auction starts at about 6 p.m. And normally we're a little thin when it comes to the business community, so I hope a lot of folks show up and take advantage and support the kids. If you've got
question. Stephanie Hoff's got a nice article up on MidwestFarmReport.com. Some people have a hard time getting their arms around a whole steer or a whole pig, how much meat you're getting. Hopefully we can help walk you through that. So let's talk, let's walk through this forecast, Stu, because we've got the youth livestock auction for Dane County tonight, my Farm Babe Boogie tractor parade tomorrow. I think we might want to take along some towels to wipe off seats from what I'm seeing.
Yeah, it sounds like, depending on your timing, a little rain could very well build in here to start the weekend. A nice break today, like you say, a beautiful morning, a little cool, not quite so hot, not so humid, feels great. But we have to watch the front that passed through here the other day, way down to the south, still down toward Oklahoma, but it turns northwest right up into Montana and Wyoming and will push in as a warm front today. Out ahead of that boundary already this morning, some rain in northern North Dakota, north central South Dakota. Watch through the day as that warm front approaches. Winds become more southeast, start drawing a little mild, moist air in, and that leads to some rain. Northwest and even west central Wisconsin may see a bit of a rain chance. A scattered shower could pop up even late this afternoon and then slowly spread further east and southeast through the night. I think even in southeast Wisconsin, that chance of a shower, maybe a morning rumble of thunder, could be around by early Saturday morning. And end of the day Saturday, then some rain ending from the northwest and southeast. Should end in the southeast already by midday or just into the early afternoon at the latest. I'd still have to say a couple of tenths of an inch of rain, not out of the question. There's some chance in central parts of Wisconsin that the sun, if a thunderstorm develops, it could move a bit more slowly, and that could account for a little localized heavier rain. There are a few spots in central Wisconsin where rain amounts up that half inch and even more, maybe closer to three quarters of an inch could be seen. Even into east central Wisconsin, some of that chance lingers, but that front pulls on through. We start to warm it up. A little more mild air, getting closer to normal temperature-wise into Sunday. And unfortunately, as I look ahead to next week, I have to say kind of an unstable pattern. That slight rain chance late Sunday night. Maybe a small chance of a hit-or-miss shower Monday into Monday night. We're not going to string together drying days as we look at the early part of next week. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
When a company only does business in Wisconsin, that's Wisconsin Strong. Rural Mutual provides all lines of insurance, including commercial, farm, home, and auto. And your premiums stay right here to keep Wisconsin strong. Local agents, local underwriters, local claims adjusters.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Na, 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 na. Hey, Wisconsin, are you feeling summer? Then it's time to feel cheesy. It's time to feel good. July 31st through August 10th, only at the Wisconsin State Fair. Presented by U.S. Cellular.
Hey, got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2025 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
All right, buddy, let's have that forecast then. Give me some detail.
All right, let's talk about a really nice Friday. Mostly sunny skies, very comfortable. The warmest will be maybe an upper 70 in western Wisconsin, in the south, like La Crosse, that area, southeast Minnesota. Otherwise, mid and upper 70s, but what we see through the day, winds become southeast at 5. Further into the northwest, that chance of a little rain could pop up yet late afternoon. Overnight, then, that rain develops from west to east. We see more clouds. Not a big deal tonight. Showers, could be a rumble of thunder here or there. Low to mid-60s for nighttime lows. Tomorrow, some rain, at least in the morning, ending already in the northwest part of Wisconsin. Not ending till midday or a little later in the southeast. That's where I say that up to a quarter inch or so could be seen. Temps tomorrow a little warmer, could be close to 80 in the north, even in the mid-80s south. And by Saturday, by Sunday, got to get my days straight. Sunday, some sunshine back, Pam, not too bad. A lot of mid and upper 70s, maybe an 80 here or there. But even late Sunday night, that rain chance tries to sneak back in.
Rocky from Taychita says the auction last night in Fond du Lac County rocked and said, thank you, Stu, because it takes everybody to make those rascals go well.
No, I just stand there and make noise and hold a microphone.
I know. You do that well, make noise, you know?
Sometimes, yeah.
All right, man, have a good weekend. We'll catch up with you Monday.
You got it. We'll see you then.
All right, Stumach, ag meteorologist, joining us with your Compure Financial Ag Weather Update on a Friday. Compure Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural America. You can find the resources online as well as an office near you. Start your search at compure.com. Yeah, the talk text line is live with activity, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. Here at Civic Media, we believe radio plays an important role in strengthening our communities by focusing on what is happening here and now. Here's a clip from a recent edition of the Todd Allball Show, where Todd sat down with Alex Madursky from the Nature Conservancy talking conservation in Wisconsin.
We're joined to talk about other conservation issues by Alex Madursky, the Associate Director of Government Relations at the Nature Conservancy. Alex, before the break, introduced a little bit the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Fund. Former Republican Governor Warren Knowles, former Democratic Governor and U.S. Senator Gaylord Nelson, who started and founded Earth Day. What does this program mean for the state of Wisconsin, and why does it appear to be, if not in danger, certainly a concern right now as we look at the current budget process in Wisconsin?
Well, it means everything. It means a lot. I was thinking about this interview, Todd, today before I joined you to chat. And when we talk about the outdoors, it does everything from protect wildlife species to protect wetlands. It also, for local units of government, does things like create trails, creates parks, helps protect them. You're on a boat launch today. There's a whole sub-program of this Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Program that's dedicated to making sure boaters can enjoy that activity. And every acre of land we have at the Nature Conservancy based on this program is open to all nature-based outdoor activities, as we call them, including hunting, fishing, and trapping. And those are such an important part of our state's cultural heritage that I'm glad we can offer that to every Wisconsinite and everyone who wants to visit this state for free. It's a public-private matching grant program, so we don't get this money for free from the state government. We got to show up at the table and explain to the Department of Natural Resources, here's what we think we can do, here's what we think we can protect, and here's what we think people can use. So here's the money we can bring to the table. Can you help us out? The program, I think, is not unique in facing some challenges in the legislature, to the extent that that process doesn't always move as smoothly as perhaps most Wisconsinites would ideally like. But that's one reason we continue to go back to the legislature and tout these polls that say 93% of Wisconsinites support the stewardship program.
You've been listening to a portion of the Todd Allball Show. To learn more and to subscribe to the show's podcast, check out the Civic Media website at civicmedia.us.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston, and now it moves on to the president's desk.
On this vote, the yeas are 216. The nays are 213. The resolution is adopted.
The House, just after midnight, approving a bill to cancel $9 billion in funding that Congress had already approved for foreign aid and public broadcasting. President Trump saying he wants Attorney General Pam Bondi to unseal grand jury documents related to Jeffrey Epstein in an attempt to quell cries from the MAGA base surrounding information about the convicted sex offender. President Trump diagnosed with chronic venous insufficiency, a common diagnosis for older people. However, says Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt, there's nothing more serious.
There was no evidence of deep vein thrombosis or arterial disease.
The Late Show with Stephen Colbert extending in May. It'll be ending. Colbert has been strongly critical of President's administration, but CBS says it's purely financial. This is ABC News.
The Pack is back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, the Packers are arriving for the start of training camp beginning next Wednesday. Rookies and the quarterbacks reporting today for physicals and meetings. Yesterday, Jordan Love was in Milwaukee for his youth football camp with 600 kids participating, including more girls this year, catching passes from number 10.
I can't believe that I got to have a catch from him.
Come out here, have some fun with them, teach them some skills, and just have a day where they can be around, you know, NFL player, ask me questions, and hopefully have an impact on their life is awesome.
Jordan Love's Hands of Love Foundation with programs to find life less stressful and more fun for children.
I mean, there's so many different layers of mental health and just creating awareness for that. But I think having kids come out here and just be around other kids their age and interact with those kids, you know, make friendships. And I think those are the things that are going to carry them on and into the future and hopefully have a positive impact on their mental health.
Baseball, the Brewers opening a 6-game road trip tonight in L.A. against the Dodgers with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Pete Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by Hank Scott, the owner of 12 Tribe Cigars, who joins me in studio. And Terry Barr drops by for Bar Band Friday night. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. If you happen to have the day off, you picked a good one. Plenty of sunshine today. Nice and comfortable highs in the mid-70s. For tonight, showers and thunderstorms possible later after midnight. Lows in the lower 60s. Scattered showers and storms on Saturday. Highs in the upper 70s. Right now, 53 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on Civic Media Radio. We now take you to Matt Nair on Air with Wisconsin Farmers Union President Darren Von Rudin on the importance of public radio.
What I wanted to bring up really quick is one of the things you brought up as a discussion point was cuts to public radio and NPR. Darren, do you want to speak on that?
Yeah, you know, it's something that I think affects not only farmers, but rural citizens across the country. You know, I hear more and more people that are listening to the programs that public radio offers and national public radio or TV. You know, how do we keep those programs alive? And a lot of that is through public funding. About half of the funding, or a quarter of the funding, to NPR and public radio comes from private donations. So, you know, it's one of those programs that I listen to a lot when I'm driving down the road with all the windshield time that I have. and it has a lot to do with the news source that's there too. It's an independent news source. It's not viable to one particular promoter. You know, at the end of different newscasts, they'll say that one of their sponsors was actually somebody that they were talking about.
Right. Yeah.
What radio stations do you hear that on? You just don't. And so how do you know who's pushing what button that they can report on and what they can't report on, where public radio and public TV, you know, really gets to the source. And most times if the opposite sides want to be on the stage at the same time, that's what they would much rather do. But we're seeing a lot of pushback from the far right saying that it's not a good news source. Well, if you don't show up and talk about your point, you really can't say that. It's like the local tavern affiliate or customer that complains about politics all the time but never goes and votes.
Right. Yes.
You really don't have a right to complain about it if you're not willing to be on the program.
I'm very, very surprised that you and other agriculture producers in Wisconsin are NPR fans. And I think
That helps explain a little bit to me, at least, why they would like to cut funding, because I think they would much prefer that Wisconsin farmers were listening to different kinds of media outlets.
Yeah, and, you know, and certainly nowadays with modern technology, and if you are lucky enough to own some of the modern equipment, you can get Sirius Radio and listen to whatever you want. But there's a whole lot of us that are still farming with tractors from the 80s and 90s and still have AM radios on our dials too yet. So having as many news sources as we can is what we prefer.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
This year.
You know, a lot of times trying to figure something out is easier done if you see it in action. And that's what we're talking about on a Finally Friday morning. I'm catching up with Steve Wilkins from the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board. See for yourself. It's a tour they've created in Wisconsin to help soybean growers better understand where their checkoff dollars are being invested. They're now looking for candidates for the class of 2025. Stick around. Steve Wilkins joining us with that story as we roll our way through a Friday. It is the 18th day of July. What can I tell you on this day? Back in 1968, Intel is founded. If you take a look at most of your desktop laptops, you'll find an Intel chip. They have become the world's largest semiconductor chip manufacturer, founded in Santa Clara, California. Started on this day back in 1968. On this day, 2013, Detroit declared bankruptcy. The city had up to $20 billion in debt at the time. It became the largest municipal entity in the United States to declare bankruptcy. That was back in 2013. They're back in the black today and proud of it. Happy birthday to actor Vin Diesel, turning 58. Actress Kristen Bell is 45. And now you know. Well, we want you to know time is still available if you are one of the century or sesquicentennial farms that will be recognized during this year's Wisconsin State Fair. The Midwest Farm Report, thanks to Compure Financial, gathering as many of those stories as we can to share not only with your family members, but the general public. Aubrey Schlimgen's got one more for us this morning.
Imagine being able to buy 100 acres of farmland for $5,000 at the young age of 22 years old. I'm Aubrey Schlimgen with the Midwest Farm Report, and Sandy Cumbier informs us that is exactly what her great-great-grandfather, August Ferdinand Cumbier, did when he traveled here from Germany and hopes to keep the family tradition of farming going for the future. The family and farm are celebrating 150 years on the dot, and she shares more about their rich history and fond memories of growing up on the farm.
We had lots of pigs, too, sitting out watching the baby pigs be born, feeder pigs. We'd help. We did castration. We did all that fun stuff with Dad on the farm. And a lot of things to remember. So then it went on to around 1980, my brother Jim and Bob decided to go back into milking then on the farm. And of course, there was a little work to be done with switching the barn back to stanchions and doing that. Bob ended up buying Jim out after a while. Jim went to work. And my oldest brother Bob and his wife, they had a son in March of 1999, and his name was Jared Robert, and he loved to go over to the farm. Just a year old, he was diagnosed with a cancerous brain tumor. My brother Bob ended up selling the cows so that he could spend time with him and the care that he needed. And he ended up passing away on the July 1st of 2000. And that was a big moment for our family. It was quite rememberable.
Absolutely.
Yeah, with that, Bob and Vicky wanted to make other kids happy. So they wanted to open up the farm and invite people out to the farm. So September of 2000, along with all of the brothers and sisters and lots of neighbors, and family, we started, it was called A Day on the Farm in memory of Jared Robert Cumbier. And his favorite flower was a yellow daffodil. He always took to yellow daffodils. So that was kind of our theme. We used yellow as our color. And we created farm corn mazes out on the farm. We had pumpkin patch, hay rides. We had food and animals. And it was just a fun time for everybody to come to the farm. And we had decided on, Bob and Vicki had decided that they wanted to send all proceeds down to St. Jude's Children's Hospital down in Tennessee. So with that, we did a lot of cleaning up of the farm every year. We held the event from the year 2000 to 2011, and we raised almost, I would say, my brother Bob said it was like $250,000 we raised and gave to St. Jude. It was just a 2-day event that we held every year, mid-September. And yeah, we were getting like more than 6,000 people coming to the farm over the 2 days. And it was just such a fun time. We enjoyed every bit of it, but then it got to be a little bit much for us, and it kept growing and getting bigger. And pretty much the farm was being just cash cropped at that time.
That was Sandy Cumbier with Cumbier Family Farms of Winnebago County, celebrating their sesquicentennial farm and sharing her family's powerful and impactful story of resilience. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Aubrey Schlumgen.
You're invited to Clinton Farms in Bear Creek for this year's Farm Technology Days, Generations of Progress. This year's event features the chance to explore cutting-edge equipment, innovative techniques, and taking a glimpse into the next generation of agriculture. There's also a rotary parlor, seminars, and, of course, field demos of all kinds. Mark your calendars for August 5th through the 7th and bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information and show details, visit wifarmtechdays.org.
When a company only does business in Wisconsin, that's Wisconsin Strong. Rural Mutual provides all lines of insurance, including commercial, farm, home, and auto. And your premiums stay right here to keep Wisconsin strong. Local agents, local underwriters, local claims adjusters.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Beautiful day on the way today. Looks like sunshine, daytime highs right around 76. Now remember, Farm Bay Boogie Tractor Parade will go on as planned, rain or shine tomorrow. So tractor drivers, feel free to meet me back parking lot of the Alliant Energy Center grounds here in Madison in conjunction with the Dane County Fair. About 11 a.m. tomorrow morning, we'll get started with the Farm Bay Boogie Tractor Parade. All are welcome, no fee. We just are doing it for the fun, so let's hope the weather cooperates with us. Markets this morning are showing a little stronger sign of life. Dow Jones Industrial Average right now is up more than 50 points. Currently, September corn is up 6, December new crop up 6 at 427. Soybeans for September, currently trading 14 cents higher, should say August, and November new crop beans are up 13 at 1040. The wheat for September is a nickel, stronger right now at 539. December wheat up a nickel at 559. Dairy markets yesterday, the barrel cheese stood still at 165. 40-pound block cheese was up a penny and a half at 164. AA butter stood still, 253 a pound. The August Class 3 milk that goes into cheese, that's up 18 cents this morning, 1790. September's up 7 at 1834 a hundredweight. You know, if you're a Wisconsin farmer, you're chipping in on a lot of different research-related efforts. Areas to promote and educate people about. I'm talking about the checkoff programs. Whether it's beef, dairy, or soybeans, farmers are contributing to that bottom line, and they want to know what that money's being used for. That's exactly what we're talking about next with Steve Wilkins from the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board. See for yourself, coming to Wisconsin in the next few weeks. Find out about it next.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS.
There's nothing quite like eating a meal and knowing that some of it goes to a great cause. It's Amanda with another new Wisco 411 for you, brought to you by Area 509 in Appleton. And you can enjoy a great meal from Oshkosh's Red Robin on Thursday, July 31st to help the homeless animals at Oshkosh Area Humane Society. On the 27th, Red Robin is donating 20% of their food sales to help the Oshkosh Area Humane Society. And all you got to do is just mention it to your wait staff. Plus, you can do it online too. Figure out how by going to WISS.FM and clicking events.
Veterans, have you explored your benefits lately? The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs stands ready to serve Wisconsin veterans, their families, and their survivors. With our partners, like your local county veteran service officer, we can help access the benefits you've earned and the support you need. For more information, please visit WISVets.com. That's WISVets.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, with funding provided by the Milwaukee Brewers and the Brewers Community Foundation.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt and Air on Air.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll be talking the World Lumberjack Championship powwows in Hayward, live from Hayward, Wisconsin, with Jane, Matt, and Air, Greg Bach, and myself. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to WISS.
Is all about helping growers understand the investments that have been made on behalf of their checkoff dollars that are paying dividends. And the application window is open now. Steve Wilkins joining us, representing District 6 in Wisconsin and also the current Secretary Treasurer of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board. Steve, before we get too far, explain for everybody just what the See for Yourself mission is all about.
Well, Pam, this is a good opportunity for all of the soybean growers across the state to have a good understanding of where the checkoff invests their checkoff dollars to make sure that we have a strong, robust, and viable soybean system going forward, both in terms of price and demand. So coming up here, I think it's August 12th through the 14th, we have our second annual, what we call See for Yourself, soybean tour across the state, where we've got a handful of stops that we want to showcase to farmer customer producers what we're doing with the money that we spend on behalf of the Wisconsin soybean grower.
Well, and what always shocks me, and probably a lot of growers, are the diversity of projects that Wisconsin soybean growers are funding with their checkoff dollars. It's all about research, education, and promotion, and just staying within Wisconsin. It's kind of an eye-opener, isn't it, Steve?
Yes, the board members, myself included, we spend a lot of time every year reading through proposals, trying to evaluate the best use of the funds and where to really allocate money that's going to drive opportunity and prosperity for our Wisconsin soybean growers. So there's not a lot of areas that probably don't get touched, whether it's through domestic projects, things that are larger that go abroad into new and emerging markets. We get a whole host of things, and it's a neat opportunity to see where we're best served to allocate our resources on behalf of Wisconsin soy growers.
Yeah, and you start right off with boots on the ground experience. August 12th will begin at the Arlington Research Station with some of our fantastic team, Dr. Sean Conley, Dr. Damon Smith, Dr. Rodrigo Worley in Arlington. You know, what many growers may not realize is those three are always working on something new and innovative for Wisconsin soybean growers. And I see there's some conversation about how artificial intelligence is already in play with some of those checkoff dollars.
Yes, technology is always evolving and changing. We have invested in that area and will continue to, because it's one that affects all of us to some extent now. But as we move forward, whether it's in our personal lives or within the realm of agriculture, artificial intelligence is going to be a significant portion of how we need to view agriculture and the next advancements in agriculture. So that's a good one. There's plenty more that those three fine gentlemen work on, but that'll be a neat thing to see where we're at and what the future holds.
Boy, for sure. Steve Wilkins is joining us. If you haven't heard, he is the Secretary Treasurer at Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board from District 6. Again, it's called the See for Yourself Tour, August 12th through the 14th, all around Wisconsin. You know, one hot product that we've been talking about on the show quite a little bit ourselves, Steve, is this new innovation that soybean growers invested in, soy foam. Looks to me like we're actually going to be able to see a living demonstration of that technology at work. Explain a little bit more about the long-term investment in that project. And boy, it's been well received, not just in Wisconsin, but nationwide, hasn't it?
It has been. Soy foam is an area that we've looked at and been investing for a handful of years now. And it's a really good success story around how soybeans can really help fix one of the significant challenges we have. And that when that comes to the health and safety of our fire departments, and you look at some of the foams that they're using now, while there's a stringent and robust process that current foams and stuff have to go through, we found something in soy foam that tends to be significantly safer for them. And so we've done a lot of trials, and we've had board members go down and look at trials in other states. And we continue to grow this out because we do see it's a strong domestic opportunity for us here in the state and abroad. And more than anything, it's a health and safety benefit to us and to our firefighters out there fighting the fires.
Yeah, you bet. This is also a perfect example why the average consumer should be leaning in on some of these conversations. You know, everybody concerned about PFAS. Well, here is a agriculture-driven answer to some of that with soy foam. Now, in Wisconsin, we are also fortunate that in checkoff investment dollars have been made to study the efficacy of our port system and give directions to some of our agribusinesses that might want to invest in transportation. That's been happening at the Port of Milwaukee for a little while now, Steve. That's another one of the highlights for the See for Yourself tour.
Absolutely. Last year, we were able to go down and visit the DeLong Company at the Port of Milwaukee. We'll be doing that again this year. It's a really strong success story for the state. The DeLong family has been instrumental across the state in many different aspects of agriculture and what they're doing down in Milwaukee to help us get more of our agricultural products out of the state, add value, get them into the global marketplace. It's a really nice thing for all of us in the state, especially for those more so in my district and to the south of me, as we're more on the eastern type seaboard. So it's great to have that. And it's something that we want to continue to invest in where we can and it makes sense, and to also showcase to our farmer customers.
Well, just seeing it, just actually physically seeing the investment that DeLong's have made in the agricultural maritime facility and recognizing that that one facility could see a 400,000 metric ton export opportunity every year. That's a lot of Wisconsin beans moving into that international marketplace you mentioned. It's also a perfect example of how Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, members like yourself, Steve, don't take anything for granted within the state. That Port of Milwaukee has been there for a long time. We just had to re-envision how we were using it. Same thing with our dairy operations. They are all around us in the state of Wisconsin, but not to be taken for granted because they're a critical part of this See for Yourself tour.
They are. There's some strong opportunities in dairy. I think we all are aware of the opportunities soybean has in rations for all livestock, dairy specifically. And we support it. We support the animal livestock sector as much as we can. We get a lot of proposals. A lot of funding goes to making sure that soybeans and soybeans grown in Wisconsin have a place in the dairy ration, and we can help drive the continuation of that value proposition and demand.
Well put. Again, these are your checkoff dollars at work, folks, and in many different ways right around the state of Wisconsin. If you're interested, again, the application link is online. You can go to wisoybean.org, wisoybean.org. We also happen to have a link up at MidwestFarmReport.com. See for yourself a very special value-added tour to help you realize how far your investments in soybean checkoff dollars are going right here in the state of Wisconsin, brought to you courtesy of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, wisoybean.org, where you'll find the link for that special event August 12th through the 14th around Wisconsin. Steve Wilkins, helping you understand the value your checkoff dollars are generating right here in the state. He's a grower himself in District 6, currently seated as the Wisconsin Secretary Treasurer on the Soybean Marketing Board. Again, that link, wisoybean.org. I'm Pam Yonke.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt Nair on Air.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I've been trying to learn sheep's head for 40 years. My father-in-law is still a card counter, knows what everybody has. It is so easy to go, oh gosh, I still don't know who the partner is. And is that a trump card or is it not? And so I'm still asking myself all these questions while they're busy taking all of my nickels. The one thing that got me where they allow me to play is getting the app. For all the technology that's out there, that is one of the positive notes.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Adopting a cow leads to adopting a desire for dairy foods. That's ahead on Farm to Fork. The following is a public service announcement from Farm to Fork. As you're listening to this program, a dramatic paring down of 12 regional centers for agricultural safety and health is taking place. These centers rely on funding support from the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, and that agency's budget is being cut by more than 98%. Several of those centers have endorsed my 2025 Public Service Farm Safety and Health Campaign, what you're listening to right now. I consider this a loss to the farming community. And while no money is changing hands, a loss to this campaign as well. These centers provide a valuable service to American farmers, their families, and their workers. If you want to make a case for retaining these centers and the services they provide, get in touch with your elected officials in Washington. If enough of you do, there may be a chance to save these services and save the lives and livelihoods of America's farmers. A program that lets elementary school classes virtually adopt a dairy calf leads those students to later view dairy products a lot more favorably. The Adopt-a-Cow program is run by the Pennsylvania-based Dairy Excellence Foundation. Brittany Snyder manages the program.
Those who don't have a story in the dairy industry have no reason to trust until they have their own story. The Adopt-a-Cow program gives them that connection. It gives them that story, that real farmer they get to connect to and build this love and bond with this calf and the farmer. So then one day, hopefully, be a dairy supporter and buying that dairy product in the grocery store.
It's hard to tell who gets more out of the program, the kids in the classrooms or the dairy farmers who participate by sharing about the adopted calves.
Getting to work with all these different dairy farmers who just want to give and care, being able to tell their story is really cool. But then hearing them tell their experience back to me sometimes, they'll often say, hey, I know you warned me that I was going to get thousands of messages, but I don't think I quite understood how serious you were until now. I have thousands of letters in the mail coming to me and many messages on Facebook of people just excited to learn about dairy.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Joining me this week is my dear friend and Green Bay Public School Board member Laura McCoy to talk about how public education is funded.
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. We're all seeing the smoke, but what exactly is causing all the fires in Canada? Turns out the 5,000-year-old forest stretching across the country doesn't get as much snow cover in the spring as it used to, and is experiencing warmer, drier summers because of climate change, making wildfire season much more severe. Canada's boreal forest is the largest intact forest in the world. If you're in the market for new insulation, energy-efficient appliances, heating and cooling upgrades, now is definitely the time. The new mega budget signed into law earlier this month means federal incentives to help families save energy are about to go away. But Wisconsin's program still has federal funding available. Head to focusonenergy.com and click on IRA home energy rebates for more. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is WISS Berlin-Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein-Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The House overnight passing the rescissions bill that claws back $9 billion in federal funding for international aid and for public broadcasting. President Trump will sign it today. The White House disclosing that the president has been diagnosed with chronic venous insufficiency, which is quite common in older people.
Some estimates show that up to 40% of Americans have this diagnosis, essentially a problem with blood flow, specifically within the veins that are in charge of returning blood back to our heart. But chronic venous insufficiency, blood can pool in areas where gravity is dependent, for example, like the legs, and cause significant swelling, discomfort, and pain for patients.
ABC medical correspondent Dr. Darian Sutton, the president went to the doctor for swelling in his legs and ankles. The president ordering Attorney General Pam Bondi to now release grand jury testimony in the case against Jeffrey Epstein. CBS canceling Colbert, The Late Show gone as of next May. CBS says it was a financial decision. This is ABC News.